Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 15 tonight. The book of Judges, chapter 15. We're going to be going through Samson once again. Incredible story about Samson from his childhood all the way up until he passed from this earth. So many things that have happened in between that time period that I'm trying to bring forth. I'm not really showing you anything new, but maybe some things that we have forgotten about the life of Samson that goes away from us. Most of us, when we think of Samson, we think of his great strength, and we think of his lady that he came in contact with, Delilah. But we forget about the first two that he came in contact with. We're going to be dealing with, 2 weeks ago, we left off with his first wife, and we're going to go back to that tonight. And next week, we're going to meet the lady that from Gaza that he encountered with. And then we'll obviously move on to the life of Delilah. Let's have a word of prayer. Then we're going to read verses 1 down through number 13. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you that we have the ability to call upon you tonight. And God, I pray that you just work and bless in the time that we have. I ask that you just use me tonight. I pray that your word would be an inspiration to us tonight, that we would apply it to our hearts and our lives. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. As we begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 15, it says, "But it came to pass within a while, after in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corner of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks, also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistine says, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you. And after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt on the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Leah. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he had done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And so there you have the continuation of Samson's life. And we're going to dive a little bit further into this. I don't know about you, but I get excited about things. I get excited about reading God's word. I get excited about being able to teach. And by the way, you ever wonder why people get excited? It's because they're in the word. You can't get excited about the word if you're not in it. You know why people get excited about singing? Because they love singing. You can't get excited about singing if you don't sing. You know what I'm getting at? I'm excited about seeing what God has for us tonight. So the last time we met up with Samson, we left him in a place of great sorrow. Let's go back and let's begin to read this in chapter number 14, verse number 15, just to rehearse the story a little bit. And it says, It came to pass on the seventh day, that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire, if he called us to take that we have. Is it not so? So we see here that Samson had a riddle that he had given to these men, and he was going to allow them, hopefully they were going to solve this, and within a certain time period. And they kind of made a little bit of an agreement what was going to take place if they solved it or if they didn't. So anyway, verse number 16, it says, "And Samson's wife wept before him, said, Thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it to my father, nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day, that he told her because she lay sore upon him, and she told a riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye have not plowed with my heifer, ye have not found out my riddle." So here's what happens in the time that we're catching up with Samson in a time of great sorrow. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave changes of garments unto them with expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend." So Samson is in a great place of sorrow. His wife had wanted to know the meaning of this riddle, so her friends would win, let's put it this way, the bet that they had made between each other. I see two things that take place here with this issue, and that is her friends had driven a wedge between them, and she was more faithful to them than she was to her husband. That's a problem there. So as we continue to go on, we also see that in verse number 19, that again, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. This is the second time in Scripture that this has taken place. And as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he slew 30 men for their garments that they had bargained for earlier. And now his wife had been given to one of his companions. Here's his place of sorrow, that Samson had considered his friend. It's obviously a man that traveled with Samson, that was his companion. He considered him a friend, and now his wife had been given to him. But first of all, we must remember that Samson's parents had pleaded with him not to marry this woman from Timnah. Go back to chapter number 13, or beginning of chapter number 14, you will see this take place. So Samson's parents pleaded, "Hey, no, don't take this woman." Samson went against this law that is mentioned. What law are you talking about? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. It says here in verse number 19, it says, "Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and wool and come upon thee." So we see here that the law that has been established, they tried to convince him not to marry this Philistine woman. They didn't want him to have a intermingle with somebody that wasn't of their tribe. So this is a great picture of what it means to also marry someone of the same faith that you are. I'm not going to dwell on this now, but as I get towards the end of the sermon, you're going to hear just a little bit of this. Plus, I'm going to give you a story that's going to really, hopefully, open your eyes to this type of a situation. We should not marry somebody outside of our faith for this reason. It will take you down a road of marital problems. It not only will affect you now, but it will affect many generations to come. It will have a great effect on you. You might sit there and say, "Well, that will never happen to me." I will say this. When you let your guard down and you stop guarding your heart, it can happen to you. Trust me, it can happen to you. So he didn't seek the approval of his parents. He only wanted her because it was right in his eyes only. Now, as we begin to catch up with him, some time has passed, and now he wants to see his wife. But as we read here Scripture, his father-in-law steps in and basically forbids him to see her. For this very reason, let's go on in this chapter. As I said here, verse number 1, it says, "As it came to pass, within a while, after in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So here's what takes place. His father-in-law, he did this because he had given her to another man because he assumed that Samson hated her. This should be a great lesson for us to learn. When it comes to assuming things, this can lead to wrong decisions being made. His father-in-law was going off an assumption of what he thought. It's important for us, first of all, to get the facts straight in every situation. Very important for us to understand those things. The next 10 verses, we see Samson's anger being handed out amongst the people that did him wrong. And that's natural for every single one of us in here. When somebody does us wrong, it's within our natural sin nature to react to those situations. And we all have come up with ways to come after somebody that has done us wrong, or maybe they've done our family members wrong, and we try to plan things out to get our revenge upon them. And you're going to see the revenge that has taken place in the life of Samson at this time. And by the way, it's gruesome when you begin to really look at Scripture and see what it really says here. It has opened up my eyes these last couple weeks as I begin to go through this. As we closed here a couple weeks ago, man, I wanted to jump ahead and get to the spot of what we're talking about tonight, because I was just so excited about this. But anyway, he gave her away because he thought Samson had hate for her. And so here we see in the next 10 verses here, we see the creative mind of Samson. First of all, when we view Samson, we think of a man with long hair, and then we think of a man who has great strength. Back in chapter number 14, we saw a man who has a inquisitive mind. He was a man that put forth a riddle. I cannot understand riddles. I don't have the time to try to figure those things out. And Samson was able to give forth a riddle. You begin to see how his mind works. And now you're going to see his mind work even more creatively as we go through this. So as we begin to go through this in verse number 3, it says, And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. So here what takes place in the life of the creative mind of Samson. Remember, strength, long hair. Now we're beginning to see how his mind truly works. Verse number 4, it says, And Samson went out and caught 300 foxes. 300 foxes for this reason. He was going to use them to bring persecution to the people that harmed him. So as we go on in this, he decides to take matters into his own hands. And he goes out and he begins to catch foxes. You might think that this is an easy task, but foxes are sly creatures. They're very agile and they're very quick. And you come after them, guess what they're going to do? They're going to run away from you. So whether he did it by hand or whether he did it by traps at that particular time, possibly, he had to take on a tremendous task of catching 300 foxes. So I believe even in the life of Samson, not only known for his strength, his long hair, now we're seeing his creative mind. Now we're able to see that he is possibly a skilled hunter. This is what I'm getting out of these verses here. And so he knew how to trap these. He knew how to get them. The purpose of these foxes wasn't for the use of being house pets. I don't know of anybody who wants to have a fox in their house for a pet. I've seen foxes around people's necks for decoration. Some women have those things. I don't understand. No, they're dead, by the way. They're not alive. And so anyway, he didn't use them for house pets. But here's what he was going to use them for. As we begin to pick this up again in the middle of this verse, it says, And he took firebrands, and he turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. So we know Samson's for strength, but we overlook how creative of a mind that he had. So what is a fox? What is a fox? I looked up the definition of a fox this afternoon, and there are many definitions for them. But foxes are considered a spirit animal. Anybody else know this? I was not privy to this until this afternoon, but they're known as a spirit animal. They reveal themselves during times of great and unpredictable change. The fox has a great sense or awareness, and they act very swiftly on things. The fox symbolizes mental responsiveness. So that is new to you if you have not heard that. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for that valuable information. So Samson, he draws up a very clever plan. And then he turns them tail to tail, and he attaches a firebrand to the tails. You might ask yourself a question, what is a firebrand? A firebrand is a piece of a burning wood. But another definition for it is inciting change and taking radical action. Samson was going to take radical action with this. What exactly he did here is radical action. So when the firebrands were lit, here's what took place. The foxes would turn into a sheer panic. Remember, they're tied tail to tail. Have you ever seen two animals' tails tied together? On occasions, I've seen deer's antlers together on occasions. I've seen the panic upon the deer's as they try to release from each other. Some have been killed during the process of that because of the great panic that comes upon the animal at that time, just feeling trapped. And so as the tails were tied together, the firebrand was lit. It would send them into panic, and as they are sent into panic, what would they do? They would run away, trying to escape from the danger. But they didn't run to this place and that place. They went to a very specific place. Verse number 5, it says, and when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. So they went into a very specific place. Now, I stand in awe tonight because I've been in Israel. And to be able to see the things that I have seen, I am baffled tonight knowing that there was corn there in this particular place. And knowing that the olives are bountiful there, the vineyards are bountiful there, because what I have seen is rocks upon rocks upon rocks. That's what I've seen. And so just to hear and to see that this takes place gives me a different vision. So as they were tied and the firebrands were lit, they ran, they panicked, they wanted to get away from each other. But in the process, here's what took place. They destroyed the crops. You might say, well, that's nothing. Well, let me ask you this. If you're a farmer and you depended upon crops for your livelihood, would this not upset you? Would this not defeat you? Would you not feel all is gone, all is lost, because that's your livelihood? And I can see Isaac back there shaking his head. I can also hear it. Just kidding, Isaac. Just want to make sure you guys are awake. But it's a devastating loss. With this, they destroyed the very crops, the very livelihood that was needed for their survival. We don't think much of this, but this is a lot to really take in. This is a lot for us to really think about, because this is how they would also survive with their meals. But this is also a time for them to thrive financially, because they're able to sell those things and to be profitable off these things. Now all this is taken away from them by 300 foxes that were tied tail to tail. A firebrand was lit, and they went in and destroyed the things. And the fire destroys things rather quickly. The Philistines had become aware of who had done this. As we go on, let's read this in verse number 6. It says, "Then the Philistine said, 'Who had done this?' And they answered, 'Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given to his companion.'" So the Philistines were aware of this, and what do? They begin to take actions themselves, no different than what Samson had just done. He took matters in his own hands. Now they're upset, they're offended, and now they're going to take matters into their own hands. So their actions were a little bit different than that of Samson's. He took away their very livelihood of survival. They react in a different way. Let's read this. Let's see how they react. "And the Philistines came up." Their reaction is this: "And burnt her and her father with fire." You see that? One's reaction causes another man's reactions. And this resulted probably in the life of his wife and his father-in-law at this point in time. Well, why is this so important? Because our actions do have consequences. They do have consequences. They cause so much turmoil in life that can be prevented. You might say, "Well, this is not going to affect me." Trust me, it will affect you some way or another. Samson had taken matters into his own hands. Twice now in dealing with this man, we have seen the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. We've seen that in chapter number 14, verse number 6, and we see it again in chapter 14 and verse number 19. But we don't see this at this particular point in time in the life of Samson. He took matters into his own hands. During this season of Samson's life, we don't see the Spirit of the Lord come upon him at this time. But here's what we witness. We witness the anger, we witness the bitterness, and we also witness the hatefulness of Samson. We can see this in this chapter right here. He had taken matters into his own hands. He fulfilled his desires. He fulfilled his lusts. He acted upon those. And because of that, his actions caused somebody else to have a reaction, and he's even affected even more. He had taken matters in his own hands. Great lesson for us to learn here, and that is, even men of God will make mistakes when they decide to do what is right in their own eyes. You see that take place here? He made a mistake. There had been a great slaughter. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt on top of the rock of Edom." Ironically, he starts off by destroying their crops. They're mad. They're offended. They come after him. "Hey, we're going to take your wife. We're going to take your father-in-law." And now there's another reaction. There's a great slaughter that takes place. And we just see this go back and forth. Edom is a town which is not too terribly far from Bethlehem. It's just south of Bethlehem. Didn't realize this. I was excited as I was talking to you folks this morning about tonight. I was actually there, not even realizing that. When you're in Israel, everything is just so close together. I can be looking over at Pastor's house, and that could be Bethlehem, and I can look over here to our other house over here, or the yard over here, and that could be a different destination. It's just so closely knit. And I didn't realize I was there, and I got excited when I began to look at the map that I was able to look at. But here, let's begin to go on. It says, "A feud between Samson and the Philistines, it's not over. It's not over." Let's begin reading here. And Samson said, in verse number 7, unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. He smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt on the top of the rock of Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Leah. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up. To do to him as he had done us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said to them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said to them, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. The feud continues to go on. It's not settled. Men come after him, and they arrest him, and they bind him by his feet to deliver him into the hands of the Philistines. Next week, we'll pick up in verse number 14, and we will see the return of the Spirit of the Lord upon the life of Samson. Sure, Samson had some problems. His problems were with women that were not of his people. I told you earlier that I was going to stress this just a little bit, but I can't stress this enough. If you are in a relationship with one that is not saved, or one who is of the same faith, you need to walk away. You need to walk away. And I will encourage you to do this. Pray that God would save that soul. I would hate for anybody to get into a relationship with an unsaved individual. I'm going to close with a story that I just recently heard. This past summer, a young lady was invited to church by a young man, a Bible-believing Baptist church just like us. And this young man is a saved individual, supposedly. This young lady at this time was not saved. And as she began to come to church, she got saved. And she began to notice one thing, the inconsistency in the life of the young boy that she considered a boyfriend at this point in time. She began to see that he was not real. She began to see some other things in his life that just did not add up. She's excited about what God has done in her life. She's excited about the change that God is doing. But she began to notice that they were on two different pages. She was wanting to live for the Lord, and he was not wanting to live for the Lord. And so, as time began to go by, she was invited to go to church camp. And she went to church camp. Her boyfriend stayed back home. And during the week of church camp, she was asked by her pastor, hey, how are things going? Are you glad you came? And she said, can I be honest with you for a minute? He goes, yeah, I want you to be honest. And she said these words, I'm so glad I came, but I'm so glad that he didn't come, because he would be a distraction to me. God began to move in her life in that week of camp, began to do some tremendous things to her. Her life has continued to change. She, at this time, is feeling the call to go into the ministry. All at the same time, she's still dating this man that has no desire to serve God. We'll come to church on occasions, but most of the time she'll stay at home to watch video, to play video games or to watch television. She had a desire to go to a college here recently, to go to their college days, and to be able to spend some time under some good, solid preaching. And the preacher began to preach that week and began to challenge their hearts. And she knew that God was calling her to do something, but she was also kind of being hindered by the young man that she's dating. Remember, she's going towards God. He's going away from God. And she began to realize that their relationship wasn't going to work out. So God began to challenge her heart that week at this college and began to do some things that only God can do. A message was challenging that night, and the message was this towards the end, that you need to have somebody to pray with you, and somebody you need to pray with somebody so that you guys can be accountable. She stood there for the longest of time. The invitation was long, apparently. And she's with some of her youth group. She finally stood up on the last verse of the invitation. She looked at the teenagers that she is with, and she says, "I am so sick and tired of you guys not moving to the calling of God. Let's go." So she walked up to the altar with all the teenagers that she went with, and they began to pray, and they began to learn that they need to be accountable to each other. She began to tell her pastor what God has done in her life. She says, "Pastor, I've been called into the ministry, but I cannot continue to date this man who does not have the same desire that I have." You know what she did? She got back home. She gave him an ultimatum. She says, "You need to step up. You need to be the leader. You need to be the one that's leading me to Christ. You need to be the one that's taking the initiative to pray. You need to be the one that's encouraged me to read my Bible." She gave him an ultimatum. He failed. You know what she said? She says, "You're not for me. I don't want you to hinder my walk." You see what happens when you go down the wrong path of choosing somebody that does not want to follow God? It can lead you into a place that's not desirable. Samson was chasing women that he should not have been chasing. Thank God for the discernment that God gave this young lady to say, "Hey, I'd rather serve God than be with a young man who has no desire to be with him, because he can ruin my life." I often wonder, I thought to myself this week, how many men and how many young ladies are called to the mission field but never go because they're stuck with a loser of a boyfriend or a loser of a girlfriend? You might say, "Well, Chad, those are pretty harsh words." I'm just saying, it is what it is at times. Sometimes I don't know what else to say. But it's important for us. I know most of us in here are married. We have our spouses. But we have people that are underneath us that are looking to us for guidance. And we need to show them the importance of two people being on the same page, having the same faith, having the same Jesus Christ, serving the same God. I know of women who are married to men who have no desire to serve God. That's not a way to go through life. It's not a way to be on separate pages. I've never really seen this before in the life of Samson, because I've always been focused on his hair. I've always been focused on his strength. But I've never seen what was really taking place in the life of Samson. You intermingle with the people that don't have the best desire for you, they will bring you down. They will bring you down. Mark my words. It will happen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, no matter how many times we go to Scripture, no matter how many times we reread something, you show us something new every single time. God, help me never to get into a place of being comfortable, but help me to always be having a desire to learn your word. We thank you for what we have heard today. We thank you for how we have been challenged today. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We ask that you bless us as we leave from here. In your name, amen.